That one had a 38 bullet buried in its brain. It was chilled. You saw it. I saw it. It was an ex-dog.
So, what's this? Ghost? Manitou? Shape changer? Come on, Ryan. Tell me.
The dog hunkered, bloodshot eyes fixed on the two men, as though it were trying to decide which was going to have his genitals ripped from his body. Ryan's finger tightened on the trigger. Despite his steely nerves, he couldn't shake off a feeling of near superstitious dread. It wasn't just a similar sort of animal. It was the same dog.
Do it!
The 9mm round went clean through the animal's body, blowing out a ragged, bloody chunk of flesh the size of a grapefruit from under the ribs on the left side. The animal went down kicking, trying to bite itself in the center of the exit wound, legs scrabbling on the small stones of the beach. Blood gushed from its body, pumping slower and slower. It toppled over, twitching, then lay still.
Now that's a dead dog.
Ryan turned to see everyone running towards him, brought by the gunshot. Everyone except Abe, who had chosen that moment to go into the woods to relieve himself. He had just appeared, pants at half-mast, trying to see what had happened.
Not another one.
Not another dog. It's the same fucking animal. I told you the slut. Mildred couldn't be that good with a revolver. Nobody could be. She grazed it and it recovered. Gotta be the fucking answer, don't it?
It's a very clever animal if you're right, traitor. It didn't just recover from a brain shot with a 38. It also made itself a brand new collar.
Abe joined them.
Whoa. Why'd you shoot the dead dog, Ryan?
It's identical. Same three white stars, same white paw, same collar.
Ryan stooped and removed the metal strip, angling it to the sun so he could read it.
It says 279-792-493.
Same number, but this one ends in the letter A. That one got the same letter?
No, this is a B. Precisely the same coded sequence, but just a letter different.
This passes belief. They must surely be from the same litter. Brothers, perhaps?
Dean, did you notice anything unusual about that first dog? Anything about it we could check with this one?
Gee, Dad, that's... I nearly pissed in my pants when I saw it coming for me, you know? The way it was snarling and baring its teeth. Oh, yeah, the teeth!
What about the teeth?
Well, I noticed that instead of the usual big curved tooth on each side here...
Dean pointed to his own mouth at the front.
It had, like, double teeth.
The canines? Really big and hooked over? You mean it had two on each side at the top?
Yeah, I'm certain. I remember noticing it. When I was living with my mother, Rona, we were on the run a lot, skipping from Ville's at night, you know? We had the Baron's dog set on us. I saw more hound's teeth than I had hot soup.
Trader was already down on hands and knees, reaching for the blood-flecked muzzle, forcing open the jaws with an effort.
Strong bastard it was. There.
Everyone leaned forward, seeing that the dead animal had double canine teeth on both sides of its upper jaw. Ryan held the two collars, laid flat across the palm of his hand, staring at them.
It doesn't make sense. Not to be this much alike.
Identical twins are not that unusual among humans, are they, Dr. Wyeth?
I don't know the stats on that. It's not my field. Twins must be odds of around 100 to 1. Identical siblings can only come along about one time in 50 sets of twins. That's all I know about babies. What I know about animal genetics can be written large on the head of a damned pin.
JB took the pair of metal tags from Ryan.
But that engraved code, absolutely identical apart from that last letter. Like some kind of experiment. Maybe the woods are alive with 20 more, all with the same numbers and different letters, or 100 more.
Trader placed the corpse of the second animal in the lake.
I reckon we should move from here.
Why?
Spooked, Abe, that's why. When you meet something out of the ordinary, then it's time to hit the trail again. That was always my rule with the Warwags.
Like when?
Onyx Woman in Houston, giant rats in Allegheny, the purple creeper in Tuscaloosa, and the gold eagles up over the border snows in Canada. How about...
All right, Trader, you made your point. Are you saying we should go back and make a jump again up on Cadillac Mountain?
Nah, just move on. Away from the lake.
I agree. Trader could be right. There's something strange in those dogs. I can feel it. I guess we all can.
You got a feeling on this one, lover? Good, bad?
It felt good for a while. Now I'm not so sure.
The doubt was there on everyone's face, and Ryan realized the decision had, for all practical purposes, been made.
Let's move on.
They walked around the flank of the lake in a single, strung-out skirmish line. The region was full of wildlife, and they disturbed a muty moose with antlers that had a spread over 10 feet. Trader went for the Armalite, but checked himself.
Ah, we still got enough meat. I don't want to chill something as grand as that giant booger. Wouldn't be right.
The trail forked at the neck of the lake, and Ryan stopped, considering his options. They stood on a bowl of hills, those behind them taller than those ahead. In the one direction, Ryan could see that a fresh blacktop cut up higher through a fork in the rocks, looking as though it might lead into a valley.
Let's try up there.
Christie had moved forward to join him at the head of the group.
Dark's not far off.
Yeah. You notice that this has been kept clear, like it's used a lot?
I thought I saw some old wag wheel marks away back, where the road split.
We passed a number of side trails, and quite a few of those showed marks of wheels and feet.
Yet it seems deserted. If there's lots of people, then the game would be more scared and less plentiful. Christie touched Ryan on the arm.
The good feeling's already gone, lover. It's like we talked about. The worm in the apple.
Think we should go back and jump again?
Not yet. Maybe we'll find a good safe camp for the night, and we can think about it in the sane light of the morning.
They found an excellent site for an overnight camp. Halfway up the main blacktop, Ryan had picked a narrow trail to the left, which headed a little higher up, ending at a small lake, really no more than a large pool. But it was fed by a fast-running stream that fell 6 or 8 feet over a lip of granite, giving good, cold water. There was a view out to the west between two hills, heavily wooded, with plenty of broken branches all around them for a fire.
Dean and I'll get a fire going and cook up some of the venison.
Think we should post a guard after those twin dogs?
We all saw them wagging boot tracks on the way here.
Yeah, one on and 8 off watch. We'll fix the rota later, after we've eaten.
There were differing times of danger during a night in the open in unknown and potentially hostile country. Just as dusk was subsiding into full dark was a particular threat. Similarly, the hour before the false dawn brightened the eastern sky. Generally, Ryan's long experience had shown that the small hours, between about 2 and 4, were also higher risk than earlier in the night. This meant using the less combat skilled for the safer times, Doc, Mildred, and Dean. Abe and Christie for the mid-risk times, then dividing the rest of the hours of darkness between himself, Trader, JB, and Jack. The white-haired teenager had the best night vision, so it was sensible to utilize him for the period of poorest light. There was a sliver of moonlight flirting with an endless range of frayed clouds that were being carried across Acadia from the Atlantic Ocean. Several times while he was sleeping, Ryan came awake at the distant howling of what he was certain was a hunting pack of timber wolves. But they sounded far off among the mountains and didn't worry him.
Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe there's something drinking from the pool. I regret that my vision is veiled at night.
Doc was so close to Ryan that he could feel the old man's breath tickling the tiny hairs in his ears.
Stay still, Doc. I'll take a look.
As Ryan inched toward the pool, blaster ready, he could hear a faint sound above the tumbling of the falls. He flattened out and crawled the last few yards on his stomach, parting a fringe of long sedge grass, and peered out and smiled. He turned back and rejoined the waiting Doc Tanner.
You were right to wake me. Anything out of the ordinary has a capacity for turning into danger. But not this time.
What was it?
Water shrews, about as big as your little finger. A couple hundred of them, like a regular army. Probably come up here together for a drink every night about this time.
Ryan drifted off again. Later, he awoke when Jack touched him on the shoulder. Despite the almost total blackness that met Ryan's eye, it was easy to see the great flare of white hair that tumbled about the young man's shoulders.
Your time.
Anything?
Nah.
What, Jack?
Thought I heard dogs and a man calling. Quarter hour back. Not repeated.
Wolves?
Not wolves. Dogs. Then they got quiet.